Okay, so good morning, everybody. This is Daryl Davis, happening live. I want to welcome everybody for being on the call, especially any of the new power agents. You know, we have some new people. This is their first time being on the call and being a part of the program. Want to also welcome some people that are calling in. I can see from this my screen here that some of you are calling quite a ways away all over the world. So thanks for calling in at some weird hour so you can make it on this call. Now, this call's, like I said, it's happening live. We're recording it. So what we're going to do is after this call, we'll post it. Like every month, we post the calls on the Power Program website. You want to make sure that if you step away from the call, that you not use your hold button, because then we're going to hear Muzak, and we don't want to do that. Okay, so the purpose of this call, you know, here's what we do every month, is really this is a group coaching call for you. This is an opportunity for you to get some coaching on anything that you're struggling with, that you need help with. Okay. And some of you have already emailed me ahead of time questions that you want addressed. So what I'm going to do is actually, I'm going to do something different. Hang on a second. Because I can hear people talking. And so what we're going to do is... Okay, so gang, here's what I did, just to, because we still have people calling in and they didn't hear the instructions about muting themselves. So I've just now muted everybody. So now we won't hear any distraction. But I do want to talk to you, and you do need some coaching. So when you want to ask me a question, what you need to do is hit *6 on your keypad one time, and it takes about 5 seconds for it to work, and then I'll be able to hear you, and you and I can have a conversation. So going back to what I was saying, what we're going to do on this call is first go through some of the questions that have been emailed me ahead of time. For example, Sharon Power and Penny Cronin and Elvin and Larry Gardner, you guys email me questions. I'm going to call out your names shortly, and then I'm going to talk to you about your question. After that, then I'm going to see if anybody else has questions that they need addressed for their business, for me to coach you one-on-one, for people to listen in on. And the last thing is to go over the magazine. Now, let me just say something about the magazine. Everybody on this call should have a username and password to access the Power Program website. If you did not get the your username and password, or you can't find it, then what you want to do is actually send us an email through the website, and then we'll respond and get it to you. So that your way you'll have access to it later. The magazine that I put up this month, it's over 50 pages. There is a tremendous amount of great content in this month's magazine. I will tell you that the person that we interviewed this month, and this interview is on the website. You can listen to the recorded interview. You can also read the transcript in the magazine. I'm pretty positive that Lawrence Gardner would be okay with me saying this. This is a really successful agent on Long Island with Exit Realty. And his story goes way back to, this man used to actually be homeless and had some real challenges that created him being homeless. I mean, he was living in the woods in a tent. I mean, when we say homeless, we really mean homeless. And, you know, he's turned his life around. He has all these adopted children. I like to call it a tribe. He's like got 7 kids. He's a six-figure producer in real estate. Just an amazing human being. And, you know, it's an honor for me to get to know him. And he's is a student of mine, and he's just really is kicking ass. So you'll hear not so much about that personal story. You're going to hear about business stuff that he's doing in this interview that we did with him this month. Okay, now, with that said, as a matter of fact, Larry, are you on the – well, actually, Larry, I'm not going to start with you if you are on the call. I'm going to start with Sharon. Sharon Power, if you're on the call – What I'd like you to do is hit star six on your telephone keypad and wait 5 seconds. Just do it one time, and then I'll be able to hear you. So, Sharon Power, are you on the call? So, now when this happens, when somebody's not on the call but they email me the question, I address
Darryl.
The question.
This is Sharon.
Hey, Sharon, hang on 1 second.
Okay.
Just so people know this in the future, if any time you guys have a question you need coaching on, if you email me via the website, then I'll get the message, I'll address the question that you have, and if you're not on the call, you'll hear the recorded call later and still get your answer. Hey, Sharon, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Sharon, where are you from?
I am from Fairhaven, Massachusetts.
All right. Okay. So how's the weather up in Massachusetts?
It's a little cold, but no snow today.
It's cold here in Long Island, too. All right. So, Sharon, got to ask me your question about the Do Not Call list.
I did. I was talking to my broker yesterday regarding making FSBO calls and expired calls on the people on the Do Not Call list. And so she did some research on the Do Not Call list, and she sent us all a link yesterday that said we absolutely cannot call them unless the only exception is if we have a buyer. But if I actually don't have a buyer and I'm trying to get an appointment, how do I get around that?
Okay, so your broker doesn't want you to call unless you have a buyer, right?
Well, that's what the rules on the Do Not Call list say, that we cannot call unless we have a buyer. It can't be a listing appointment.
Yeah. Well, actually, Sharon, that's not true. But here's what I'm going to say. You have to do whatever your broker says to do, okay?
Right.
All right. Now, the Do Not Call list does not say you cannot call somebody who's on the Do Not Call list unless you have a buyer, because the Do Not Call list is not a real estate law. It's a Federal Trade Commission law which deals with anybody in the area of soliciting telemarketing. So there's no reference to anything specific to real estate. Do you understand?
Right.
That's the first thing. So, you know, I always encourage people, if you ever want to know what the law is to really get a copy of the law and read it, because what happens is people make up stuff because they have what they think the law says. And what the law clearly states is if somebody's on the Do Not Call list, you cannot call them to solicit business. Now, based on the definition of what solicitation is, Sharon, we're not soliciting. See, the definition of solicitation is that we're selling something and we're asking for somebody to buy something. So, for example, if I were calling somebody to sell a magazine subscription, I would ask for their credit card number over the phone because I'm selling them magazines. Or maybe I'm selling stocks. Or so solicitation, the definition is selling, and we're not doing that. What we're doing is that this homeowner has placed an ad in the paper saying that I'm selling my house, call me. They initiated the contact, if you will, by putting an ad in the paper saying I'm selling, call me. Does that make sense what I'm saying, Sharon?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So what we're really doing is we're responding to an ad. We're not asking for a listing over the phone. We're not asking for their checking or routing number. We're asking them, hey, you're selling your house. Would you be offended if I just came by to see the house? That's the first thing, Sharon. The second thing is you don't have to have us, if we go conservative like your broker is suggesting, where your broker says, I want you to have a buyer for it. Well, you know, Sharon, and all of us on this call know, that no buyer, like it's very rare where a buyer buys a house based on what they originally told us they want to buy. You know, most
right.
of the time they'll say, I want a 4-bedroom, 2-bath colonial, and what they want to buy is a 3-bedroom, 1-bath ranch.
Right.
So if you want to be conservative, if you have a buyer that is in the price range of the FSBO, forget style, bedrooms, or baths, as long as it's in the price range, that if you are challenged, if you call a FSBO and they do sue you saying that you called me and I was on the Do Not Call list, you could say, well, at the time I had this buyer in the price range and we practiced buyer agency, which is in a sense a legal relationship like a power of attorney where the buyer was giving you authority to prospect and look for properties for them. Are you with me?
Yeah, true.
So that would be your back, your to help support you on this. Now, Here's one last thing I can tell you about the do not call list. I know for a fact from personal experience that when somebody, I have some numbers that are on the do not call list, and I've gotten some people call them. And so when that happens, you go to the do not call website and you actually file a complaint and you fill out a really simple form. Here's the date and the time and the phone number of the person that called you. Now, I've done this a dozen times, Sharon. Now, ask me how many quote-unquote complaints I've won. Here, the answer is zero. And the reason why I've won zero is because the government hasn't done anything with it. See, the Do Not Call List is really an old law that came out a long time ago for reasons that had to deal with Congress. Congress didn't like getting the calls from these people. So they put this law in place, but here's the problem. They don't have anybody actually following up on these complaints because there's no staff person that's being paid by the government to actually follow up on these complaints. Are you with me?
Yes.
So there's a law out there that's not being enforced. I have not heard of one real estate agent who's gotten sued for calling somebody. But even if there was a challenge, I just told you why it's not a challenge as long as you have a buyer in the price range. Okay, does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. And I do have a PDF, Realtors Must Know Do Not Call Registry Rules. I'm just going to forward it to your email for you to take a look at some point. But I am going to, follow that because I do have buyers in particular price ranges. So I won't be afraid to make a call based on a do not call list.
Good. And here's the thing, too, is that whatever you send me, is it from the Department of State Licensing?
No. It is actually my broker had forwarded on, I don't know if she got this on NAR. Oh, no, actually, she went on the do not call the rules and regulations of the do not call list government.
Yeah, all right. Well, send it to me.
All right.
So, all right, good. Sharon, thank you so much for that question. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, welcome. Now, Sharon, you just hit *6 again, and that will mute you back. And then Penny Cronin, are you on the call? Because you had a really good question, and which there's a lot of techniques that I can share based on Penny's question. Penny, if you're on the call, hit *6 one time, and that will unmute you, and I'll be able to hear you, and give it 5 seconds for it to actually kick in. If she's not on the call, I'm going to start answering the question anyway. Penny asked me, how do you respond to the expired listing homeowner when they call all these agents and they tell the agents, hey, bring a buyer and then I'll pay you a commission? So, and it's not just an expired. So anytime a homeowner says, we don't want to sign a listing with any one agent, you know, what we'll do is we'll pay an agent a fee if they bring us a buyer and they sell the house. So there's a few things about that. And Larry Gardner, if you're on the call too, Larry, you had asked the question about, because this is going to tie into you. Larry's question was, due to the shortage of inventory that FSBOs seem to be more cocky than usual because the market is going so well on Long Island, where because there is a shortage of listings, homeowners can just put their property on the market and it could sell pretty quick. So I'm going to start to answer Larry's question, but Penny, when a homeowner says, bring me a buyer and I'll pay you a commission, I don't want to sign with an agent, there's a really big piece that homeowners are missing that they have to understand. That selling a house, that there's really two major parts to selling a house. One is the marketing and the other part is the closing. The marketing is attracting the buyer to get a buyer, to find a buyer who wants to buy the house. So once we find that buyer who wants to buy a house, the next part is bringing them from contract to closing, which is a whole different skill set that agents do that homeowners think, you know what, I want to sell my house, let me just put an ad in the paper and I'll sell it. But there's that other part that people are missing. Now, sometimes they'll say, well, I have an attorney that can help me. Once I find the buyer, I'll give it to the attorney and they'll take care of everything. Well, here's what I used to say. Is if you were to go to New York City and watch a Broadway show, there's all these people involved in putting the show together. You've got the actors, you've got the lighting design person, the set design, the costume design, makeup, choreography if it's a musical. So you've got all of these people that are involved in putting a show together. And everybody talks to one person. Who is that one person? That's the director. You can't put a live show together without a director because it would be nothing but a mess. Well, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana, in a real estate transaction, you have the same thing. You see, you have you as the sellers, then you have the buyers. Now, you say you have an attorney that's going to take care of the details for you. Okay, great. And then let's say the buyers have an attorney too. And then, of course, you have the title company, the appraiser, the bank representative. So you've got all of these people involved in putting the deal together. Now, here's what's really interesting. Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana, you as the homeowners, if you're selling it on your own, you would only talk to the buyers and to your attorney. You would never talk to the buyer's attorney. You would never talk to the title company. You would never talk to the home inspector or the bank rep. Now, the buyers, they only talk to you and their attorney and to the, maybe the bank rep and to the home inspector, but they don't talk to the title company. They don't talk to your attorney. Your attorney that you said is going to handle this for you, well, what here's interesting is that your attorney only talks to you and to the other attorney. Your attorney is not going to talk to the bank appraiser, not going to talk to the home inspector, not talk to the buyers directly. My point here is you've got all of these people not talking to one another, and any one of them can kill the transaction. There is only one person that everybody speaks to in a real estate transaction, and that's me, the realtor. Trying to put a house deal together without a realtor is like trying to put a Broadway show together without a director. It's always going to have problems. If selling a house was as simple as putting an ad in the paper and finding that buyer and just going to contract, you wouldn't have to be licensed by the state to help other people do it. So there's got to be more to the process than just putting the ad out there and finding the buyer. So that was one of my favorite things that used to really work well with the homeowner. Some of you have also heard me talk about fishing. You know, if you go out to catch a fish, a homeowner throws an ad in the paper or puts something on the online, well, that would be like going to a lake, throwing out a fishing pole line. You know, each line that you put in the lake would be a marketing tool to catch the buyer. Well, realtors or my company, we don't use a fishing pole line. We actually use a net. Imagine a big fishing trawler going out into the ocean and throwing out this huge net out there to bring all these buyers on board. Now, once we do that and we have all these buyers on board, which, again, part of what we do is create demand for the property. So once we have this demand, we have all these buyers wanting to buy the house, then we pick the best buyer. Now, at that point, we actually have to take this buyer and make sure that they're like any fish. We have to prep the fish, you know, clean it, take off the scales, all that stuff. Well, in the process of selling a house, the same thing is making sure the buyer is qualified. They have all their ducks in the row before we actually commit to them. Once we commit to them, that's like going to contract or cooking the fish, if you will. It's very time sensitive. So we have to make sure that everything's done in a timely fashion so we don't ruin the meal, because we then want to sit down at the dining room table and enjoy this great result. And that's the same as with the buyers. Once we're in contract, the whole cooking process is making sure that everything's ordered on time, the inspections on time, the more applications done on time, so that way we can make it to the closing table. Another technique I used to use, and I love this one, when a homeowner says, well, again, bring us a buyer and we'll pay you a commission. First of all, you've got a couple of things. Some buyers are not really committed. And by the way, gang, I'm throwing a lot of techniques at you. There's a couple of things I just want to say. I know a lot of you have my audio programs, how to present price or how to present commission or the library stories, metaphors, and analogies. These examples that I'm giving, these analogies right now, are on those CDs. That's the first thing. The second thing is I'm recording this call, so you're going to be getting these specific ones when we post it on the website next week. Okay, so going back to what I was going to say, when the homeowner says, you know, bring me the buyer, I'll pay the commission. One of the things that I used to say was, let's pretend, well, first of all, the thing about buyers is some buyers, they work with more than one agent, you know, because they just want to make sure they're not missing out on anything. So when you tell all these agents, bring me a buyer and I'll pay you a commission, you might have one agent who says, okay, this is what the homeowner wants to net, and I want to get a fee for, let's say, 5%. So I'll put 5% on top of that plus some negotiating. Then you might have another agent says, well, you know, I charge 7%, so I'm going to take that number, put 7% plus some negotiating. And then you have another agent that does something different. So anyway, what you've got is you've got all of these agents, if they do talk to buyers about your house, they're telling them different prices. Now, some serious buyers, what they do is they may go to an agent, they see your house, they like the house, but you know what? They're not quite ready to pull the trigger. They want to see a couple of more. Maybe they even have another appointment with another agent the next day. And so now the other agent talks about this great house, and it happens to be your house, but it's a different price. So by you having all of these different prices on your property, it actually creates confusion in the marketplace. And the other problem with that was it creates confusion is buyers then don't trust the house, they don't trust the price, and then they don't move forward. Point being is you might have had this really A buyer who's committed, and you lost them because there wasn't that consistency. You created confusion. Here's the other thing, too. Let's say Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana, you have a daughter and you want her to get married. So, you don't want to get married. She's getting married. And you want her to have this like awesome wedding cake. So what you do is you go to 6 different bakers and you say to each baker, listen, my daughter's getting married. I want the best possible cake you can make. Now, I'm not going to give you a deposit. I'm not going to commit to you. What I want you to do is I want you to bake me the best cake. And I have these other bakers. I'm asking the same thing. Whichever one of the 6 bakers does the best job, that's the cake I'm going to buy. Now, here's my question. If you were a baker, would you roll up your sleeves, start making a bake for this person who didn't make a commitment to you? Well, that's essentially what you're doing here is when you go to all these agents, say, whoever bakes me the best result, which is brings me a buyer, that's the one I'm going to pay a fee to. You don't have any one agent actually rolling up their sleeves getting to work for you. Not to mention the fact that what happens is that any agent that does come in, they're representing the buyer. Now, if you were going to get sued, and first of all, Mr. Ms. Hanna, if you were getting sued, would you even go to court without an attorney? Of course not. Now, let's say you went to court without an attorney, and the court asked you to pay for the other person's attorney, you know, the one that's suing you. Well, that would absolutely make no sense. I mean, you wouldn't do that, right? Of course not. Well, that's kind of what you're doing here. See, any agent that comes in with a buyer to show your property, they're not representing you. They're representing the buyer. So what you're doing is you're having a licensed, trained agent by the state work against you, and not in your best interest, but in the other person's interest, and you're paying them for that. Now, I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I think that's like going to court, paying for the person's attorney to sue you. If you're willing to make that investment to pay part of the fee, why don't you pay the other part where you have your own representation that's going to look out for your interest, and that's what I want to do for you. Okay, good. So that was a lot of dialogue for Penny. And Larry, part of what I just went through too is, you know, dealing with the cocky homeowner saying that, hey, you know, the market is so great, I don't need an agent. All of those things is to help show that there's more to selling the house than just putting an ad in the paper. Here's something else too for Larry and for all of you. If you have homeowners that think that they can save money, do it on their own, the market is hot, there's a couple of things I want to say which addresses Larry's question and part of Penny's. First of all, on the Power Program website, under Classroom, there is a whole bunch of stuff that you can print out and download, and one of the things is these visuals for sellers. And there's a couple of articles there about homeowners who sell on their own versus realtors that sell homes. The one that I've used in my seminars, a lot of you have seen, is the USA Today article that shows that homeowners in a hot market, hot market, thinking they can just put an ad in the paper, they're going to sell it on their own, that they still sold for 21.49% less than the realtor. So even in a hot seller's market, homeowners who sell privately lose money. And I'm going to tell you the psychology behind why that is. And I have not always shared this in my live seminars. And that's the Kelley Blue Book technique. See, if you were going to buy a used car or sell a car, and you go to Kelley Blue Book, it always asks you, well, are you going to pay or sell through a dealer or privately. Now, what's really interesting, you can take the same car, same year, same miles, same colors, son of a gun, you can literally take the same exact VIN number and put it into Kelley Blue Book, and it's always going to be a lower number when it's being done privately versus one being done with a dealership. Now, when I had this aha, it was like, wow, when you think about it, anytime anybody buys something directly from the person who owns that thing, it's always less because the consumers expect a deal. You take a refrigerator and put it on Craigslist versus putting it into a used store, the used store can always sell it for more than what we would expect to pay on Craigslist. Homeowners do not save money, they lose money. Okay, now I'm going to pause for a second because I'm getting a sore throat. No, that's not why I'm going to pause. I'm going to pause because I just want to see if anybody has any questions, being that Larry and Penny were not on the call, before I go to my next question. If you have a question about what I just did, please hit *6 on your keypad. Wait about 5 seconds, and then I'll hear you. So I'll just anybody have any questions? I hear somebody's
Carol.
Voice. Yes. Who's there?
Daryl, it's Larry.
Hey, everybody, Larry Gardner. So everybody, as I said earlier, and those of you that were not on the call this right when we started right at 11 o'clock, Larry Gardner is our featured power agent this month. We interviewed him. He's on the magazine. His recording is there. So how you doing, Larry?
Good, Daryl. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning, buddy.
So that's it. You answered my question really nicely. I appreciate your input. Thanks.
Oh, you're welcome, buddy. Thanks for checking in. Let me know that you were on the call. Yeah. The real thing is, I think we all have to keep something in mind too. And Larry, you're really good about this because, the thing that helps you become successful too, Larry, in real estate is because people can sense that you really care about them. And when you're talking to a FSBO who is arrogant and they think they can do it themselves and all that stuff, if they think that anything you're saying is for your benefit, meaning that you're committed to taking a listing from them, that it's about you getting a commission, in other words, if they feel that sales pitch thing coming on, no matter what you say, they're not going to want to list with you. But if they can sense that everything that you're saying is because you care about them, you're passionate about your business, you believe it will help them and serve them. In other words, everything you're saying is not to take, but to give. They're going to pick up on that, and you can usually convert somebody. So you're really good at that. People can sense your kindness and your love and your giving, and so that helps you tremendously. So.
And I just want to clear one thing up. I want to make sure they all know I'm not still living in the woods.
Was that okay that I shared that? I should have checked with you.
Well, we might have to have a part two of the interview with Joanne, possibly, as I'm thinking.
Okay, that might be good. You know, I really would love people to hear your story. I mean, to go from, you know, homeless, living in the woods, to having this awesome family and making six figures in real estate is really quite inspirational. And we really should talk about that if you're up to it one time because, you know, there's people on this call, there's people in the business, Larry, that are struggling just to get by, and they feel like the part of the reason why they're struggling is because their circumstances are so big. You know, they might have a spouse that's not supportive. They might have a challenge with their child that they're dealing with. They may have the bills that seem bigger than the cash flow coming in. So they have these circumstances. As a matter of fact, they don't have circumstances. They feel like the circumstances have them, and it's hard for them to see what's possible in breaking out of that. I can't think of any student I've ever worked with that had the biggest circumstances than you've had as far as being homeless. So, you know, it might be like, you know, if Larry can, you know, persevere through that circumstance and not have it hold him back, along with your other challenges that you had, your story can probably create an opening for people to have a breakthrough. So,
I would be honored to do that. I'm thinking maybe my new tagline will be for my business, used to live in a tent, can I sell your house? At least they'll get, I think it'll get the phone to ring. I'm not sure about getting listings. Hey, Daryl, you know I love you, man. I'm a great fan.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Thanks for who you are, what you do for people. Appreciate it, man.
I'm going to mute out. Take care.
All right, mute out. Go ahead. All right, so we've got Elvin Aratasafasiminamana. I can't say your last name. Elvin, if you're on the call, please hit star 6 to unmute yourself. Give it 5 seconds for it to kick in. Elvin,
hi,
are you there? Elvin, is that you?
Yes, hi. How are you?
Hi. Great, Elvin. Thanks for being on the call. Elvin, where are you located?
New York.
All right. Queens, New York. All right, we got a fellow New Yorker. So, Elvin, ask me your question.
Yes. I want to stand out. I just opened up a real estate office in my neighborhood. And I was thinking of, instead of going a percentage commission, going flat fee. And I don't know how to do it. I don't know if it's going to be a good idea. I just want to stand out. I want to be different than everybody else in the market. Is that a good idea?
Well, I'll be honest with you, Elvin. I'm not a fan of that approach of standing out, okay? But I'm going to still help you and give you some ideas, okay?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I do think that you committed to standing out and being different is good. And so I think that's great that you're thinking that way. When it comes to somebody hiring anybody, they can hire that person based on their skill and their ability or by price. And what I've seen when people try and distinguish themselves by being the cheapest or the least expensive, they're not standing forward on their skill and their ability. As a matter of fact, when I would go on a listing appointment, if somebody said, yeah, but the other broker said that they're charging less or they're cheaper, I would say that to a homeowner. You know, do you want to hire the cheapest person or the best skilled person? Because usually the best skilled person is advertising their skill. The cheapest person, because they're not skilled, they have to advertise, hey, I'm the cheapest. Mm-hmm. So that's how I used to counteract low-fee people or flat-fee people, Elvin, okay?
I see.
Now, with that said, there's a couple of things. First of all, in this month's magazine and in so many of the other magazines that are on the website at thepowerprogram.com, because I don't know if you know this and everybody else on the call, we have the last 12 months of magazines on the website for you to, you know, open up and print out and stuff. And in those, Elvin, you'll see a tremendous amount of different advertisings that people have done to kind of stand out, not based on price. You know, mm-hmm. One of the ones that I, you know, comes off the top of my head is advertising, you know, a free over-the-phone market analysis where somebody can call you just to get a value of the house over the phone so they don't have to worry about a big sales pitch. You know, that technique makes the phone ring, but when somebody calls in and then you do give them, they tell you about the bedrooms, bath styles, and then when you decide to give them the price, you give them a wide range. So wide where they'll be like, well, that's pretty wide. Like, you don't almost want them to say, well, that's a really wide range. And you say, well, yeah, you're right, it is, but for me to give you a more accurate number, whether it's the high end or the low end of the range, I really need to see the house. And why don't I do this? I don't mind. When I find the time, when I can come by, take a look at your house, and I can give you a more accurate number. And while I'm over, I can actually drop off a report that I have in my company on how to sell your house in today's market for the highest possible price. So doing a free over-the-phone market analysis helps make the phone ring. The other thing is, Elva, I think the better you are at communicating your listing appointment when you are belly-to-belly with the seller, that will make you unique if you use stories, metaphors, and analogies to communicate. I think also if you promote your service, find some other things other than price. When you try and, by the way, I still hear somebody on the other line So just make sure that you're muted or hit star six. Elvin, when you try and advertise that you're the cheapest, you're subconsciously saying that you're not the best. So the types of sellers that are going to respond to your ad may not be the people that you actually want to work with. Is this making sense what I'm saying?
Yes, yes, and I really appreciate it. You know what, Daryl, let me just add. Since I don't have much experience, that's why I was going towards the price. You know, you mentioned skill, ability, and price. So I was going towards price because I don't have much experience to advertise based on that. So I have to choose a different path to advertise in that case, if the price is not the right strategy to get people.
Well, I'm gonna still help you with the price. Okay, I'm gonna, even though I would like you not to do it, but that was your question, and so I want to help you. Before I say that, though, I'm going to suggest something, Elvin, is that take the time to go through some of the magazines that are on the Power Program website and look through some of the other types of ads and mailings and people have done and see if you can find in that something that, you know, will help you stand out. I will tell you that one of the techniques you can do that I know works really well, and it's a mailing campaign, so it's going to take, you know, several months, a year for it to really work, but that is rotating between three letters, mailing out to your farm area where the new office is, an update of what's happening in the market. So let's say the first letter says, "Dear Hanahana, I just want to tell you, here's all the homes that have currently sold in the last 30 days in our area." Now, Elvin, when you sent out a letter saying, "Here's all the houses that have sold in the last 30 days," it doesn't say that you sold them, but the fact that you're sending out the letter on your letterhead, it creates the perception that you did sell it. Are you following me, Elvin?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's a very powerful technique. And then another letter could be, you know, you just listed a property, and then another one is, "Here's some properties that you've sold." So between those three letters, if you keep just mailing to a particular farm area, that's going to help get your name out there. Okay, but here's, if you aren't going to advertise or you do want to promote a flat fee or a low fee, what I would do is I would set it up like a progressive, let me see, how do I say this? The ad could run showing that, you know, special fee for this month or for the next 60 days, and then you can actually put the amount in there. Now, when somebody calls on the ad and they want to meet with you, you sit down and go over with them that this fee at this level, it's a limited service, meaning that they'll get on MLS for this, you'll give them a yard sign, blah, blah, blah. But if they want the more advanced package, which has you running more ads, you doing open houses yourself, you negotiating the offers, you paying out a higher fee to the other brokers, well, then that's a different program. So what you could do is, instead of pigeonholing yourself, if that's the right word I'm looking for, instead of locking yourself in that you are a flat fee broker and this is what you charge, actually have maybe three levels. There's the silver, platinum, and gold level, where it has the different prices, where you're going to give different service. Does that make sense, what I just said?
Yes.
But last, I'm going to go back to what I said, Elvin. You take the time to really think through this, okay? Because mm-hmm. I think when you advertise you're the cheapest, that actually kind of hurts you. It doesn't raise the bar for Elvin's real estate company, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Go through those magazines. You're going to get some great ideas, I think. All right. Now, all right, good. So you can hit star six, Elvin, to mm-hmm. put yourself back on mute. Now, I did get a message here. I don't usually see these when I'm on the call. Sharon Emmenheiser, are you on the call? Sharon, if you are, if you'll hit star six on your phone one time, it's going to take about 5 seconds for it to kick in. And then I'll be able to hear you. So,
hello.
Sharon, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Very good. So, Sharon, go ahead. Ask me your question, hon.
Well, I've been selling real estate for 16 years, and I seem to have hit that glass ceiling. And I, you know, after doing a lot of evaluation, I seem to feel that I am the one standing in my own way.
Probably.
And I don't know how to get past that.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a look at it because that's a great question. What makes you think that you're getting in your way?
Well, we started an expired campaign, and I will actually drive out to the house, and then I can't get out of the car to go up to the door. I actually will drive past the house 3 times, and I'm in my own way.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. All right. So, Sharon, where are you from?
York, Pennsylvania.
Okay. And when was the last time you have you seen me live?
Several times, yes.
Okay. So, Sharon, I'm going to tell you something. This might be a refresher for you. Do you remember the last time that you saw me?
It was last Monday in King of Prussia.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, well, I probably said this in King of Prussia, but let's talk about it again, because to me, this is what's going to help you get out of the car, Sharon, okay?
Okay.
First of all, consider drinking. I'm just kidding. smoke a joint and you won't care. You'll get right out. Okay. So there's two things. Number one is you always look at what you're committed to in your life, in your personal life, what you're trying to accomplish. When you have a vision that's bigger than who you are, you'll usually push past the fear and concerns that hold you back. So number one is sometimes when I notice why agents they hit that ceiling is because they've reached a financial level of comfort that works for them. Now, it's not to say that they don't want to do better. They don't want more money. They would like less debt. I'm not saying that they don't have some financial struggles, but they've kind of almost gotten comfortable with the struggle where they are financially. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. So number one, look there. Make sure that you have something that you're really, really, really committed to, a next level that's going to excite you and get you out of bed and therefore get you out of the car. That's the first thing. But here's the second thing, Sharon, and if you heed what I'm saying, I think this will be the breakthrough for you. And now, by the way, everybody, this applies to everybody on this call that has the fear of calling FSBOs, the fear of calling expireds, the fear of going on a listing appointment, not wanting to get out of the car. This is going to help you what I'm about to say. Sharon, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Sharon, when you go on a listing appointment, I do not want you to be committed to getting the listing.
Okay.
Sharon, when you go over to a listing, what I want you to be committed to is ringing the door and building a relationship with these people.
Okay.
So I want you to take the pressure off yourself. What causes the fear is that we feel like, you go on a listing, you have to get it. If you don't get the listing, then you failed. If you call a FSBO and you get the appointment, you won. But if you didn't get the appointment, you lost. Are you with me, Sharon?
Yes.
And it's that win-lose scenario that creates the stress for us that holds us back from taking the action. So if you focus on, and by the way, it doesn't have to be building a relationship. It could be, what helped me get past the fear was that I was committed to going into the appointment and mastering the conversation. So for me, when I was an agent, I looked at every listing appointment almost like it was agent training in my company, and I was role-playing with another agent how to have a listing conversation. So I looked at every listing appointment as a training ground for me to master and how to communicate the power of realtors and how it helps and serves homeowners. So if my commitment was to mastering the conversation, whether I got the listing or not, I won. Why? Because every conversation I had just made me stronger for the next conversation. Is this making sense?
Yes.
So be committed to learning and mastering the conversation. Do not be committed to the end result. You see, it's the same thing with a diet, Sharon. Now, I've gone up and down on my diet and working out, and here's what I know works and what doesn't work. When what has people like say, okay, I need to lose weight, I need to start working out, they put so much pressure and stress on that end result. But if, let's say, somebody commits to a plan, they commit to eating healthy, they commit to just working out a couple of times or three times a week. In other words, they don't commit to the goal of the weight, but they commit to the process of getting healthy. The weight will the result will come by itself. So the focus is not on the end result. The focus is what's right there in front of you, or just the process. So I don't, but I know this makes sense, but is it helping you?
I mean, a little bit. I mean, because when I go into a listing appointment, once I get inside that door, I'm perfectly fine. I have the rapport. It's all about them. I have no problems once I step in that door. It's the getting to the door. So I basically need to just have more confidence in myself and just have more of a goal.
Well, what has you not want to get out of the car? Let's just look at that for a second.
That's the problem. I'm not really sure. I don't know if it's that rejection at the door or, you know, I'm assuming that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's the part that I'm talking about. If the reason why you get out of the door, you don't get out of the car is because you don't want to be rejected, that's probably you're having it be about failure. You know, that if you they don't let you in or you don't get the listing. So all of that stuff that's in your head. That's what I'm addressing. Is that don't worry about whether you're going to be rejected. Don't focus on the rejection. Don't focus on whether you're going to get the appointment or you're going to get in the door. Focus on just getting out of the car and just having a conversation with these people. And don't worry about what the end result's going to be. Does that help?
Yes.
Listen, Sharon, it's not going to be easy the first couple of times, no matter what. You're going to still have that queasiness or that reluctancy or whatever it is that you want to define it. But the difference is you don't want it to have you. So I want you to be worried, nervous. I'm going to share this one story that'll help illustrate it. And then Keith, I got your text. Keith just sent another power agent on the call, asked me about something I'll address in a second. But Sharon, to finish this, some of you have heard me this story, and I'll do a short version of it real quick so I keep everybody interested. My son Michael Raymond, when he was young, maybe about 10 years old or something, we were going to I signed him up on a little league baseball team. So we went to this place where they do all these tests, Sharon. There's the running test and the catching test and the batting test. Now, my son wasn't very athletic at the time. So when we went to this place, and it was a huge warehouse, and there was all of these kids, and they were all dressed like their favorite baseball team. My son was dressed in sweats and a T-shirt. He felt very uncomfortable because he wasn't dressed like the other kids. So he wanted to leave. He was so afraid. So I said, don't worry, Michael, let's just check it out. So I gave my son's name. The woman said he's got to go to the batting test cage first. So we go to the batting cage, and there's this kid before my son in the cage, and he's hitting every ball. He's whacking it. He's awesome. He's like an all-pro. My son says to me, Sharon, Daddy, we have to go. I don't want to do this. My son was so afraid, Sharon, that he was going to fail. And if you think about it, this 10-year-old kid was about to be asked to go into a cage without his father and swing at something he's never done before, while other adults actually judge him on his ability. Can you imagine, Sharon, how that must have felt for this kid?
I'm pretty much feeling terrified for him.
Yeah, right? I mean, if any parent can really relate to this, we can almost feel what our child would feel. We would actually simulate that fear. So, Sharon, here's what I said to my son. I brought him over to the bench, And I said, Michael, you know what I do for a living, right? Because Sharon, my son, has seen me. He's traveled with me to other countries and seen me stand in front of thousands of people. And he says, yes, Daddy, I know what you do. I said, well, Michael, what I do other than just seminars is I really help adults become successful in their life. And I'm going to tell you the number one thing that holds an adult back from being successful. I said, is they don't have fear. Fear has them. Michael Raymond, I want you to go into the cage. I don't care if you hit the ball. It's not about that. I just don't want the fear to hold you back from playing in life. And my son said, yes, Daddy. And he went into the batting cage, Sharon, and he swang. He missed the ball, hit some balls. He did the other test, the running test. He had a wonderful day, and he said, Daddy, thank you. I had fun today. So, Sharon, you don't want to have fear hold you back from playing in life. So it's okay to bring the fear with you. Just don't let the fear hold you. Go into the batting cage and just swing, all right?
Okay.
All
right. Thank you.
You're welcome, Sharon. Okay, so Keith, are you, so Sharon, hit *6, please, to mute yourself back. Keith, if you'll hit *6 one time to unmute yourself so I can address your question. Mm-hmm. You there? Keith? All right, Keith, are you going to be a voyeur? All right, so gang, Keith wanted me just to clarify that Kelly Blue Book analogy where here's what he said. When you go to a dealer, because dealers have to, or let me just read what he said. Hey, Daryl, I just heard your thing about the Kelly Blue Book idea. I was curious because I've always thought you could sell your car privately and get more, because dealers have to resell your car. So I went into Kelly Blue Book and did 3 different cars, and truthfully, all 3 car values were clearly more for the private sale, not for the dealer sale, like you said. Maybe I misunderstood your theory. Yeah. So there's two ways to use the Kelly Blue Book, and you can't combine the two, Keith. If you go to Kelly Blue Book and you tell them you're looking to buy a car, they're going to ask you, are you buying it privately or are you buying it through a dealer? When you're buying the car, you're going to pay more at the dealership. If you're looking to sell your car, yes, if you're going to sell it to a dealer, the dealer is going to want a wholesale price. But that's not the same thing. You as the homeowner selling it yourself, the buyer, you have to look at it from the buyer side, not the seller side. So you use the Kelly Blue Book to look at if you're buying a car, Are you buying it privately or are you buying it through the dealer? And when you buy it through a dealer, it's always going to be more money that you're going to be spending for that car from the buyer side. So thanks for that, Keith. All right. Now, before I let you guys go, is there anybody else that has a question about anything that you need help with? And you can hit *6 to mute yourself, to unmute yourself, and I'll be able to hear you. Anybody on the call?
Hi, Daryl. It's Marie Lundy in New Jersey. How are you?
Good, sweetie. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you. This was a great call, but I have a follow-up question regarding FSBO strips.
Sure.
What would you say to FSBO if he says that, you know what, I have time, you know, I'm looking to sell by the summer, and I don't want to meet with you right now, because, quite frankly, I do have time to sell, and I want to try to sell it on my own for the next month or so.
Okay. So here's what I would say to that person when they say they have time and they still want to try and do it on their own. First of all, Marie, you never want to have these conversations over the phone. You want to have them in person, face-to-face. All right, so that's the first thing, okay? So be careful not – just try and get in the door. Say, I understand that. I respect that. Are you talking about somebody specifically you're thinking about, or you're just talking overall?
Overall.
Okay. So first of all, just going back to what I was saying, is some mistakes that agents make is they try and do a listing appointment over the phone. But, yeah, I'm not in a hurry. I'm going to wait till the summer. I'm going to try it on my own for a month. And then if it doesn't work out, then, you know, you can come over and then we can talk. What you want to say to them, Marie, say, listen, I just want to come over and see your house and see how I can help you. I understand that you want to try and do it on your own, and that's a really great thing that you have the time, because you don't want to have your back up against the wall. But what I'd like you to do is just look at me as like any other buyer. You know, forget that I'm a realtor. The fact that I could have potential buyers for your house, like letting me in is like letting five or seven buyers in at the same time. So it would only make sense. The difference with my buyers, I make sure that they actually have money before I even work with them. So I understand you don't want a list. I just want to see the house, see I can help you. Do you follow me, Marie? You just want to get in the door. Okay, so that's the first thing. Now, once you are in the door, now you can have the conversation because, first of all, when you're face-to-face, belly-to-belly, it's totally different. That's number one. If they like you, they see you, they trust you, you're going to be halfway home from that objection. Give me a month. I'll do it on my own. The third thing is, why would anybody, if anybody that sells their own home is going to lose money based on all of the other visuals that I've given you that are on the website, all the other analogies, the fishing pole technique and the director's technique, the Broadway show technique, all of those things, why would anybody even want to? I mean, even if they could sell their house on their own, why would they want to unless they don't understand they're actually losing money? So what you have to convey to them is that you don't want to sell on your own because whatever you sell it for is going to be less. Marie, that my USA Today article that's on that website to me is my favorite because that article goes back to 2003. It's on the website and it says homeowners that sold their own home sold for 26.49% less than the realtors that sold properties. And that was in a hot seller's market. That was 2003. That's when the bubble was getting created. So homeowners don't save money selling on their own. They actually lose. So he doesn't want to do that. That's number one. Number two, if somebody does have time, they can go all the way through the summer. Well, they better be careful because selling a house is like any product. The longer it sits on the shelves, the worse it gets for them. For example, if let's say, Marie, you have a loaf of bread in the supermarket store. When a loaf of bread sits on the shelf way too long, what happens, Marie?
It gets discounted.
Does it get discounted? Yeah. Why does it get discounted? Because it's stale. It's been sitting out there too long.
Right.
And the same thing happens with a home. Even in a market where it's going up, if a house is sat out there too long, it actually gets stale. And now the only thing you can do is reduce it below where it should have sold at originally. Now, why does a house get stale? Here's why. Because buyers want what other buyers want. Always, always, always buyers are saying to realtors, tell me when something new comes on the market. They always want to see something new that comes on the market. When we show houses to buyers, Marie, what's the first question that a buyer asks?
How long has it been on the market?
Exactly. And why is that? Here's the reason why they ask the question. And most realtors miss this. They think it's because they think they can negotiate a better offer. That's not why. Buyers ask that question. How long has this house been on the market? Because if it's been on the market too long, that means all the other buyers that have seen it before them didn't like it. And if they didn't like it, if I buy this house and it's my house, no one's going to like my house. So I'm not going to buy it. So buyers want always what other people want. When there's a buying frenzy, that raises the price. So you don't want this house sitting out on the market too long. You got to time it properly. So did that help you, hon?
That was excellent. Thank you so much, Darrell.
You're so welcome. All right, gang, here's the last thing I'm going to leave you with. We spent this whole call on coaching because there were so many great questions. And usually what I like to do is go over the magazine a little bit, so we don't have time to do that. I'm going to say something, though, to you about the magazine. There is so many bonus things in this magazine. As a matter of fact, when I looked at what I did, I was like, uh-oh, I actually put too much stuff in it. Like I could have spread it out over some other months. I mean, there is a moving checklist for kids. There's a listing agreement for children. There's one of my favorite pages, page 46, is gives tips to a homeowner on how to, you know, spruce up the house really quick. There's a coloring book for kids. There's a Valentine's Day coloring contest thing. So anyway, make sure you go into the website, use your username, password, look at today's magazine or this month's magazine, print it out, look at it. And that's it, gang. So I hope this call, I'm going to unmute everybody so we can, I think I'm going to try and unmute everybody. No, I can't. Okay. Yeah, there we go. Okay, gang, was this call good for you? I can hear everybody now. Was it good for you? Yes or no?
Yes.
Thank you.
Awesome. Okay. Awesome. So listen, thank you for calling in. Thanks for participating. Don't forget, the more people you help, the more commission you make. Commission is just a reflection of how many lives you've changed. So go change a lot of lives. You'll make a lot of money. God bless you. And I'll talk to you guys on the next call. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank you.